Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine, visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show, a big radio midgets production. We've got Eric Hauser with us out of San Francisco this weekend. Eric is founder and executive creative director of Swivel Media, swivelmedia.com. And we'll tell you more about Eric here in just a few moments. There's quite a long bio. His mother probably wrote it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, she did. Plus, it's his birthday, right?
He had his birthday yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
So he's an old guy today, almost as old as Neil Burns. But we have Eric on the show for three segments. We've also got coming up here momentarily Patrick Meyer, our marketing insider out of New York, with iPhone. iPhone. Yeah. You don't have one. I don't have one.
I'm waiting for the second rebate. Eventually they'll pay you to have one.
I want a J-phone.
Yeah.
And we also have Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Help me help you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
well,
a little bit later on this hour. So anyway... just recently, Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick.
Dog Eat Dog World.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and considering the fact that we're dog people, it's like, oh, come on, man. What are you guys doing?
Right.
And they actually had to give away. They found places for the dogs. They tried to reacclimate them to families to be able to, you know, to get them to be compatible with people. That'd be a tough job. One of them was not... able to do that. They had to euthanize him. And it was really sad. But then, okay, you got Vic over there doing, what was he doing, Nike? Whatever, it doesn't really matter. So now we have, now I don't think Yao Ming is going to get anywhere close to any problems here. But
no.
Yao, Reebok International kicked off its biggest ever marketing campaign in China a few weeks ago with ads featuring its biggest or at least tallest asset there, Yao Ming, using a theme called Fuel Yao, man, that's hard to say. Fuel Yao's unlimited power. Who thought of that? A slew of television and digital ads, encourage Chinese consumers to support their hero as he prepares for the 08 Beijing Olympic Games. Perhaps the bigger story is why Reebok, whose name is in Chinese means swift step, has been slow to use Mr. Yao, having lured him away in 2003 from Nike. Mm-hmm. He's got a 10-year contract with Reebok, estimated to pay him $7 to $10 million a year. And it's one of the most lucrative in the sports world. So, of course, here in Houston, we have Yao wearing his Reeboks on the court of the Compaq Center. The Toyota Center.
Yeah, I think Reebok, the only thing that they're risking is Yao Ming going over there and eating a dog. Then we might have a problem.
No, don't say that.
No? Can't say that?
No, don't say that, no.
You know, it was...
they're going to have better luck with him.
What's that?
They're going to have a lot better luck with him than they did.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, I look back on that press conference that Michael Vick had, and it's still ringing in my ear. Well, I guess I have some growing up to do.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Now wait a minute.
Yeah.
So it was an immature act to bankroll this dogfighting ring and bet on dogs, and I don't know. I see more, you know, when I see them ringing up people that are going to jail and these dog fighting rings and all that. I don't see a bunch of teenagers doing it. They're usually older, redneck, you know, people. Older people.
Oh, and
not young people. So I don't know what it means. A mature
what some thing. People are saying that's more of a cultural type thing.
Yeah.
Which is really disgusting anyway. So,
right. Well.
But a rather inappropriate comment is what you were saying. Made.
Well, I thought it was an excuse, and it sounded like instead of just admitting that, you know, take a chapter out of Bill Clinton's book, I suppose, and just admit to your wrongs. Well, he didn't do a very good job of that either, so why am I bringing him up?
What about O.J.? Oh, man, well, that's another story altogether. O.J.'s in Florida. Gatorade's from Florida. Should drinks like Gatorade sport the junk food label? Maybe they should.
Yeah.
Washington Post
sugar.
Article. Yeah, absolutely. A $1 billion battle over selling sports drinks and enhanced water in public schools has spilled into Congress, and it threatens to derail a major attempt to cut back the sale of junk food from school vending machines and snack bars.
Yeah.
In an attempt to limit the sale of high-calorie sodas, candy bars, and other snacks They've introduced a bill in Iowa that would have the government set new nutritional standards for the foods and the drinks that the schools sell to students outside cafeterias. But just what those standards should be is the issue. Of course it is. That's a very gray area that they're getting involved in. But as far as Gatorade being a junk food type drink, I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day, and how when we were young, and includes you, Ray, and going to grade school,
right,
you didn't have a choice of French fries and, you know, this. You got what the meal was,
right,
and that was it. Or you brought your own lunch. Who would do that?
Right.
And today, I mean, why wouldn't they just put their foot down and say, okay, kids, you know, here's what you get, and serve them a square meal, and eventually, like a dog, you know, you either eat or you go hungry, and these kids would eventually, boy, do I sound like a single parent? What's going on here? No, you know, I think they would come around. You know, quit giving them choices. Quit catering to these kids and just give them a nice, healthy food at lunch. And at least they've got one good meal a day instead of this choices of French fries
stuff,
and this and that. Yeah.
That's a good point. Very good point. We've got to take a step aside here. We've got to take a break for our first, let's see, what is it? Patrick Meyer, the Marketing Insider. It's all about the iPhone. Let's listen.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to rant and rave not only about the iPhone, but about Apple and what they've done in the last 10 years. So here are a couple of lessons learned looking at the iPhone that you can apply to your business as a marketer. Number one, they were down and out 10, 15 years ago as a small computer company that was struggling relative to PC. But their mantra, their positioning was all about think differently. And when they built products, they focused on the consumer and delivering a different experience that enabled that consumer to have a better lifestyle. So when they came with iPod, as an example, completely upset the category, different form of solution. Then they came with waves of iPod, different colors, different sizes, enhanced, so they completely took the category by storm. Then they went forward and came with the iPhone. And the iPhone is not a cell phone. The iPhone happens to be a personal enabling device that gives you everything from cell phone to entertainment to texting to emails and beyond. But across all of this, there were times when they didn't have product news and they filled in with marketing news. When they came with U2 and Bono in a special edition of the iPod. Or the day that Rosa Parks died and immediately on their website was a picture of her that saluted her and said, think different. For next year's marketing plan, or whatever you're working on as a marketing and advertising professional, map out the next 12 to 18 months of what do you have that's news? What do you have that you could tap into? What are things that your target audience is passionate about that relate to your brand or could relate to your brand? In the case of Apple, think different. In the case of your brand, it's whatever its essence is. So think like Apple, think episodic.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowing.net or send me an email at patrick@nowing.net.
Or text message him or something. The guy's out there in New York.
He loves
like
the spam. Him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything out there that you can sign Patrick up for, he loves it. Just put him on and tell him to just send it all to, what was it, Patrick?
Patrick@nowing.net. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eric Hauser founded Swivel Media out of San Francisco in early 2000 with a goal to transform the way people experience brands. 7 years later, Swivel is among the world leaders in experiential marketing. The agency's expertise ranges from interactive and virtual media to brand development. Swivel also advises their clients on business strategies and is known for its unique work developing innovative marketing programs in both the real and the virtual worlds. I'm not sure which one we operate in. As executive creative director, Hauser has overseen the development and deployment of uniquely engaging and effective programs for a host of prestigious clients, including Wells Fargo, Epson, CareerBuilder.com, Oracle, Chevron Texaco, Kajet, TiVo, CNET, Yahoo, Mervyn, Samsung, AT&T Broadband as well. So Eric apparently had his roots here in Texas at one point in time. He's connected with this guy named Neil Burns at the University of Texas, who is a legend, as we said before, not in his own mind. So we're going to find out more about Eric and about Swivel Media when we get the interview rolling, which is going to happen right after this music stops, the commercial plays, and then we do that kind of stuff, you know? So Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show with Eric Hauser of Swivel Media, and it's coming up next.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillen and Brad Forsyth.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
As promised, we're here with Eric Hauser, founder and executive creative director of Swivel Media out of San Francisco. Eric, it is great to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And since it was your birthday a couple days ago, no hangover. He's fresh. He's ready to go, Ray.
He's older, though. You know?
That's
that,
true.
That
he is
gray
older.
Hair.
His voice
has changed a
used
little, so down an octave there. That's good. Eric, doing some background on you, not only founder, executive creative director at Swivel, but also moderator and founder of the Experiential Marketing Forum. What is that?
That is an online discussion group of professionals from around the world that find some spare time during their day to speak about experiential marketing. You know, from all hours of the day. It's fantastic. It's a platform that I built back in 2004, and it's grown tremendously. Has over 4,000 members from, I think, more countries than recognized by the UN. So we're very happy with that, and very happy to be engaged in the dialogue on a daily basis.
So is it a podcast or is it archived programs? Or how does it play out?
Well, you know, it's about, you know, halfway through its life cycle. It started off as just a discussion forum. We started adding some articles. We started doing some podcasts. We do some exclusive, you know, member interviews and so on and so forth. We do a lot of research, which is very important in for the experiential marketing. So we're trying to do as many things as we can to empower the people that do experiential marketing. So.
Yeah, and for those that may be interested, visit experientialforum.com, and I'm sure you will learn all about it. And it's a great site. I visited it before today's program. Let's start over. We don't edit here, do we, Ray? Okay. Experiential marketing is all about influencing how consumers experience a brand. We know that. We've talked about it a lot here on The Advertising Show. What role, Eric, has the Internet played in popularizing experiential marketing?
You know, via, you know, being the main delivery mechanism for information, it's played a huge role in getting it out there among people in the profession. You know, it allows and affords people an opportunity to engage and interact with brands in kind of new in meaningful and relevant ways. You know, experiential marketing has not changed. It's often misunderstood, but in itself, as a methodology, has not changed since around the time the Earth was cooling. People have been practicing it. So.
Yeah. And so just for those that may not be familiar, give me your definition of
It's very simple. It's a methodology. It's about being customer-centric as opposed to product-centric. I mean, it's fair to say, at this point in the game, if you've got a product, let's for toothpaste, for instance, you know, it's fair to say that most toothpaste will make your teeth white. And so, you know, that's feature benefit. And that's traditional marketing methodology, which, you know, is predicated that people make rational buying decisions. I'm trying to remember the last rational buying decision I made. Anyway, experiential talks about more how that product is going to make you feel, so it's more customer-centric. It's more holistic and plays to, you know, how's it going to make you feel? Yeah, it's going to make your teeth white, but, you know, why do you want white teeth? Well, you know a girl named Mary, and it makes you feel confident. So they'll hang their hat more on the confidence and on the fact that you may have pearly whites.
Yeah, and we're going to dig deep on what you're really talking about there, which is consumer engagement, and we'll do that next segment. Until then, let's lay a little groundwork here on your company as well as your own background. Swivel Media's mission statement is stated on your website there as shattering the role that advertising plays in today's business world. So, Eric, are you saying that advertising is no longer playing a role or that the role of advertising has changed? What are you saying, Eric?
Well, what I'm saying is I believe that you know, any great advertising agency is a great business partner, and I think that we're closer to the customers and the consumers than perhaps some people on the brand side are. And so not only do we try to you know, work with them on their external messaging, but we also help them with product development and to fine-tune their products and their service offerings so that they, you know, can, you know, have more relevant things for their customer base. So I believe that, you know, we don't just help with the external messaging. We also help with sometimes the product development and things like that. So it's really becoming a true business partner.
And an adjunct to advertising, a traditional advertising agency services, I would imagine?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we are a one-stop shop, and we do it all with a big smile on our face.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they pay. Then you
absolutely
smile to...
And when they pay, they get the handshake, too.
Well, they pay up front,
exactly.
Actually.
So if experiential marketing is all about delivering the right message at the in the right medium to the right audience at the right time and in ways that specifically suit their particular lifestyles, I'm sure marketers out there that may not be familiar with it are wondering, how do you go about managing all of those variables at one time? How do you go about that, Eric?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The proliferation of technology has, you know, given consumers, you know, like too many choices to count, and they, you know, they control their consumption of media, and so, you know, it's very important not only what you're saying and how you're saying it, but where you're saying it, and so it becomes very important to create a message and to engage an audience, and engage. Is a term that you'll hear often, but it's a very important term because it means not just to get somebody's attention, but to hold it. And so regardless of what medium you're on, you want to create a platform that, you know, that gets their attention and holds it and allows them, you know, a brief moment to tell your story to the audience. So
mm-hmm.
above the traditional, you know, hey, we're going to make your teeth white type story.
Yeah, and you're touching on a concept that we've talked a lot about here on the advertising show, media being media neutral. And for those that may not be familiar with the concept, Eric, describe the role of being media neutral and when developing a marketing strategy.
Well, essentially, you know, it's our belief that every great campaign is based on one great idea, and that idea will manifest itself differently across any medium. So if you have an idea for, you know, example A, it may come across differently on radio than it does on TV. It may play well in the live scenario. So as long as you wrap yourself around one central theme and you don't get kind of brand schizophrenic, then and you do it in the same voice, then the customers will believe you. And if you're being genuine and authentic, then you'll generally hit the home run, as they say.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, traditional marketing, as we all know, relies on an obsessive proliferation of marketing messages in hopes of influencing a larger audience. I'm curious, can experiential marketing effort target a large market, or is it always a more focused micro-market approach?
Well, that's the misperception. The misperception is that experiential marketing is just live marketing per se, that it has to be tactile in nature, that I have to touch it to essentially feel it. And the reality is that experiential is a methodology that's evenly applied across all different medias. And so, you know, I essentially just call it good marketing. You'll see surveys come out sometimes about what's the ROI on experiential marketing. And it's impossible to actually come up with that number, because I'm sure if you look back in your own past and you can remember certain you know, commercials or ads that connected with you, that's because they were experiential in nature. They had a connected meaning and relevance to the brand, and somehow they had a connected meaning and relevance to you. And what's important about all of this is it's the holistic kind of a view of the brand-customer relationship, and understanding that no matter what the impetus of that is, no matter what, the, you know, on the outside, that forms inside of the brain. And you know, however you do that, it depends on, you know, who your audience is.
It's the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Eric Hauser. Back with more in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
And it's that time of the year around the country, fall, leading into winter here on the advertising show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And Eric Hauser out of San Francisco. Eric, founder and executive creative director at Swivel Media. Eric, certainly is a pleasure having you on the show. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back, and you didn't take me off yet. That's a good sign, I guess.
No, we probably won't.
We've got two segments with you, whether we like it or not. So you're
like
here.
It, so
yes, we do like it. Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned fall, Ray. If you hear that humming in the background, that's our neighbor's leaf blower. Welcome.
Actually, I just heard a siren.
Yeah. And when you left today, Ray, during our pre-show meeting, I thought for sure you were trying to recreate Charmin's Potty Palooza, which we're going to talk about right now. Charmin's Potty Palooza. What?
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Charmin's Potty Palooza. Yes, it's a highly acclaimed experiential marketing campaign, which you're all too familiar with, Eric. Talk about the campaign and describe some of the other successes in the realm of experiential marketing campaigns that you guys have
involved. The Potty Palooza is a stellar example of live experiential marketing. It's about turning what is going to be a perceived negative experience into something that's epic. People will trek halfway across the state fair campgrounds in order to go to the bathroom in Potty Palooza. And essentially, it's done by Gigunda Group, which is owned by my good friend Ryan Fitzsimons. And what they essentially do is they come out with these custom porta potties out to the state fairs where you're expecting just to go in there and have a miserable experience. And it turns out that when you go, it's this luxurious bathroom experience, whatever that is to certain people. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a tremendous way of aligning the Charmin brand with, a pleasant experience while you're in the bathroom.
And they've done that at the Shell Houston Open has those as well. It's a very pleasant experience, actually.
And I would imagine if you experience it, the idea, Eric, is to get people to, talk about it, go home and share with someone else, hey, you wouldn't believe what they had out at the golf tournament or wherever it happens to be, right?
Absolutely. I mean, for every person that comes in direct contact with, I can guarantee you they tell 20 to 30 people. And that program has been successful, and it's been successful for a number of years. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about consumer engagement. Definition of engagement, is it different than the example that you gave for experiential marketing?
No, I mean, it's as long as you're getting somebody's attention and holding it, that's what engagement is. The biggest thing about experiential marketing and that we hang our hat on is connected meaning and relevance, and this is on any medium. Humor for humor's sake is just that. Entertainment for entertainment's sake is just that. If it's not, tied back to the brand, then you have no brand recall. And there's some examples out there of it being done well on every media, and there's some examples of it that, perhaps could be done better. I'll give you a great example of something that in a space that's often done just to see who can tell the funniest joke is the Captain Morgan's spots that are running on television. They're very humorous, but the humor is directly correlated with the fact that the guys are putting up their, taking the captain's stance. And so there's no mistaking those ads for anything else but Captain Morgan's. And most beer companies and liquor companies tend to just see how funny they can be. And so you'll say, oh, that was a great ad, but you'll forget what beer it was for. So while it was funny, it certainly wasn't experiential because it didn't have a connected meaning and relevance.
It's interesting that you bring that up. I mentioned to someone the other day, we were talking about the funny campaign going on right now for a wireless or a mobile phone carrier, and we were describing the little funny bit that they do throughout the entire campaign, which is where they get to the most important part of the phone conversation, and it cuts out, and you see the person lipping, but there's no audio coming through, and the other person, they stopped at the most crucial point of the conversation, and the other person is reacting to all that. And I asked this person, I said, so who is the advertiser there? And they missed it totally. And I think that speaks to the point that you're addressing there, right, Eric?
Yeah, and here's a great one of, again, I'm not a critic, but I'll tell you when I see a missed opportunity just because it would have been a perfect fit for another brand, and it happens to also be in the alcohol space, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl of ads as well. And there was a Bear ad which had, you know, a rock, paper, scissors, and the guy chucked a rock at another guy and he fell over and he said, "I win with rock." And I forgot who the ad was for. I had to Google it. Turns out it was for a you know, a Bud or Bud Light. And I thought to myself, my goodness, that would have made a perfect ad for Rolling Rock.
Right.
Because if I was around the water cooler the next day, I wouldn't have been saying, "Oh, did you see that ad with the rock?" And but I forget who it was for. I would have said, "Oh, did you see that Rolling Rock ad where the guy knocked him out with a rock, and then it said the rock beats everything." I mean, like that would have been connected humor.
Right. And connected back to the brand. And, you know, Ray and I talk a lot about beer. We like beer. We drink our share, and we prefer the more quality beer. And you say Bud or Bud Light. We would say, what's the difference?
And well, there actually isn't any difference.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
Well, yeah, for sure. We've got Eric Hauser for one more segment here on The Advertising Show, founder, executive creative director of Swivel Media with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Advertising Show being powered by Shipple.com and a platform called Tendency. Check it out, Shipple.com.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
I love the sound of the rain.
And I love the taste of your fresh brewed coffee.
Oh, thanks, but it's not fresh brewed. It's Nutreka.
Like we said. Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth out of San Francisco. The company is called Swivel Media. Swivelmedia.com is the website. Eric Hauser, our guest, founder and executive creative director. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Thank you.
Yeah, and staying with consumer engagement for a moment, Eric, how do you bring engagement to advertising? Is it just continuing in what you were talking about before, making sure that your messaging is tied tightly tightly to your brand, or are there other ways to do that?
You know, it's about, you know, I call it dialogue marketing as opposed to monologue marketing. If you present a compelling offer to somebody that somebody wants to get involved with, listen, we're all busy these days. You know, if we don't have ADD, we've got culturally induced ADD, and so our time is very valuable. But if you come up with something that has a perceived value, you know, somebody will stop, pause, and interact with what you're doing. And that's a very important thing. So it can't just be about try our jeans. You know, it's got to be something more compelling to that, and have a higher perceived value right off the bat to even get their attention. And so, in order to do that, that's what, you know, starts the conversation. And conversation is a big buzzword right now. So pardon me for using it, but really, you know, a relationship with a brand is much like a relationship with everybody else. You want to get their attention. You want to hold it. You want to stay in close contact with them at all times, and you want to continue the conversation for years to come. The last thing that you want to do is what they call going quiet on people, because, you know, what would you do if you were dating a girl and she quit calling you back for 4 months and then popped back up on the radar and said, "Hey, I'm back"? You'd say, "Well, I met somebody else." And so when we talk to clients, one thing we tell them is that, you know, let's make sure that whatever money that you have, we spend it equally throughout the year, so that you're continually having this, you know, conversation with the customers and the consumers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ray experienced that the other day. His girlfriend popped up and said, "What's going on?" And his wife said, "I hope that's from more than 30 years ago."
Since, yeah, yeah.
since they've been married that long. But what do you think are some of the more some of the bigger misconceptions about experiential marketing? Do you think it's the tendency for most people to think that it's a live event?
Yeah, I mean, without question, you know, I'm running a big campaign right now on the forum, which is called "You Don't Have to Touch It to Feel It." And that's because most people think that it has to be tactile in nature. There's a lot of companies out there, you know, propelling this notion that, you know, live events is experiential marketing. Now, granted, it's a great canvas to do it because it's sensory marketing, but, you know, to say that it has to be tactile in nature is to say that a picture has never made you cry. And so, you know, you can connect with imagery, with sound, with so many other things. You know, it doesn't have to be in a live event setting. And, you know, one of the things that we try to get across with experiential marketing, and one thing we work with our clients, is that C3 rules the marketplace, and that's convenience, control, and choice. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, what's about Swivel, how are we different, we try to get our clients to understand that, and that they bundle their products and services accordingly, and then that helps us message that. And because, you know, these days, you know, C3 is going to put you ahead of your competition if you've got it. If you're more convenient, if you give them more control, and you offer more choice, you're gonna beat your competition, you know, every step of the way.
Well, now you've given away the secret of your company there, Eric.
Oh, there's plenty more. I got a big lockbox full of stuff like that.
Okay, good, because we don't want to give away too much here. We need you to go to swivelmedia.com to find out more. What a grand plan you have there! A lot of great things that you've done so far, and a lot of great things to come in the future as well. We wish you the very best with both Swivel and your career in advertising and marketing as well.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for having me. And you know, again, I encourage people to join the conversation at Experiential Forum. They'll learn a lot, and that's why we built it, to get people involved in our conversation and to empower them to teach their clients.
And that's experientialforum.com. You want to check that out, or IXMA.org as well, right?
Absolutely.
We'll be back with more of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth in just a moment. And Gene Bliss is going to join us, too.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Standing on the corner, watching all the Fords go by.
Great to talk to Eric Hauser, founder and executive creator of, director, that is, of Swivel Media. Good show. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Lots of great stuff to come as we head into... Well, the winter time, you know, it's the winter time lineup is kind of like the fall lineup on television. It's very strong. So thanks again to Eric here. We've got Gene Bliss coming up here in just a couple of moments. Gene is going to do a feature called, obviously her feature is called The Customer Experience, but the topic today is Help Me Help You. Help me help you. Sounds like that could be said with a little bit of anger behind it as well. But that's the way it goes. So, how about if I say the pursuit of happiness is a grilled cheese sandwich? And
well,
I think most
like
everybody
like some pickle on the side would be nice.
Oh
with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the fast food, the Food Network has fast food restaurants that go around the country, and I shouldn't say fast food. These are like the diners and such.
Fast Food Nation?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Okay.
No, that was a movie.
Oh.
No, but I know what you're talking about. I'm a big fan of Food Network.
It's
exactly
incredible.
What you're talking
about. But they went to this one diner where they made their own cheese pimento stuff. Mm. You know, that pickled pimento stuff you can buy in a can, but you're afraid to.
And a plastic thing, yeah. Refrigerated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they make their own, and then what they do is they put it on a big old piece of bread and another piece of bread, and they grill it. And
wow.
That, you know, it was on television, but doggone if it didn't look good.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool. So that gets back to the grilled cheese sandwich at Kraft Foods, hoping to revive kind of a sagging brand, turning to an agency that specializes in offbeat ideas to try to transform a prosaic product from humble to heroic. Kraft is suffering from lagging growth. Consumer switching to cheaper store brands to help revive or reverse its falling fortunes. They're increasing the company's marketing budget. That's not a bad idea. The primary goal, to persuade consumers that Kraft's venerable products can meet their changing needs. A case in point, Kraft Singles Sliced Cheese. Kraft will devote a campaign that begins
to glorify the grilled cheese sandwich. And I don't think the grilled cheese sandwich needs any glorification.
Mm-mm.
But if the kids are missing, they're not getting it, they're missing out on something good. So go buy some Kraft cheese and make a grilled cheese sandwich, okay?
I used to always wonder how good could the cheese be if they spent all that money wrapping each individual slice. Because you're paying for packaging, basically.
I see. Well, yeah, that's true. I guess you would. I'll take any kind of cheese. I don't know.
But it allows you to put it in your pocket and walk around with it without having to worry about any mess.
That could be a mess. Yeah. Jean Bliss is with us, the customer experience, and she wants to tell us about how to help me help you.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
In our quest to manage call centers, the front line has been programmed to get a certain output. Sometimes this means closing the call within a time frame, or it could include some kind of upsell or cross-sell goal. Because we've actually programmed the front line, there's a predetermined flow of the conversation that makes it one-sided to the company's advantage. And this turns customers off. To turn the tide, first hire people who are naturally passionate and have service in their DNA. Then let them be human. Give your frontline the skills for listening and understanding and help them deliver to customers based on their interpretation of what that customer needs. Most importantly, trust them. Talk about respect. It is not a myth that if you can solve a customer problem successfully, you have built a more profitable customer. This begins by trusting the people who hold customer experiences in the palm of their hand. This is Jean Bliss reminding you, your customers are the most valuable asset of your business.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
And welcome back to the Grilled Cheese Sandwich Show here on the radio.
You know, it's kind of like, yes, thank you for that. And you were talking about cheese, and it's kind of like going to a restaurant and having macaroni and cheese where they, like a gourmet macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
where
and
like
I've
four
seen
different
that.
Kinds
yeah,
of
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah,
great. If you ever do that, Kraft's cheese, macaroni cheese in a box just doesn't get it anymore. But and you were saying that Kraft is challenged a bit lately. Yeah. You know, you were also talking, Ray, about Starbucks, and I thought it was interesting that Playboy Enterprises, Inc. has partnered with Quattro Wireless to provide Playboy content on mobile phones. Now, this is users of the mobile site will be able to view non-nude photos of Playboy's playmates and read their personal interviews. The mobile site will also grant access to advice column, Playboy Advisor, reviews of music, games, and books, and provide the Playboy joke of the day.
Right.
So, on your mobile device, there
just
you go.
Just what we need, more distractions on our mobile devices.
That's right.
Yeah, and especially right. those kind of distractions. Sorry, well, officer, yeah. I would, you know.
Yes. Visualize, if you will.
Yeah.
Did you ever start watching any of the Mad Men on AMC? Did you catch any of that?
No. What is that? What is that?
It's the new program that's been out for a little while, past few to several months, and it's on Madison Avenue, and it's a pretty...
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
very,
yeah. No, I haven't. Did they pretty, fix anything with nails and hammers? On there?
No,
not,
and nobody wears a tool belt,
right,
so
right.
It's pretty. What no, it's really a good. It's a good move. It's a good series, and it's very interesting to kind of put you back in what was going on in the late 50s and early 60s in corporate America, and in particular Madison Avenue. And it's interesting to see how much smoking is going on and drinking in the office, and it'll really blow you away. You see people getting on the elevator with cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like radio used to be with people smoking in the stations. The walls reeked of nicotine.
Yeah. Open the studio door and the smoke rolls out of whoever.
Oh, yeah,
was
it was awful.
Yeah.
And then you follow the guy on the air who can't find the ashtray. Mm-hmm. And the ashes are everywhere. It's like, oh, come on. Clean up after yourself. Your mama's not here.
Right.
It's funny you talk about anti-smoking and such like that, Legacy has put America's Legacy Foundation Truth mm-hmm. anti-smoking campaign. They've got a new campaign out. Maybe we can talk about that on an upcoming show as well. As you both know, we are very much opposed to smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Advertising show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you continue to listen and enjoy as well. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production.